Learning Nefeshachayim, Shai Gimel, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 14. This is the final chapter of Shai Gimel. But after he concluded this chapter, he added some more chapters, sort of out of place. He doesn't really call them part of Shai Gimel. He doesn't call them part of Shai Dalet. So these are the sort of extra ideas that he's added. He calls this chapter Prakim, and I think we can attach it to Shai Gimel. Let's first finish off Perek Yud Dalet. About halfway through, we were speaking about the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Avos HaKadoshim. And we said that the Avos HaKadoshim, their grasp of Hashem's name was the name Elohim. Elohim, we know, is Bala Kriches Kulam. He's the master of all forces. But the difference was that even though they saw it as Bala Kriches Kulam, they saw Hashem as being the source of all forces. Nevertheless, there's still a higher name, and that's the name Havaya, which is Yudke Vovke, which was Moshe Rabbeinu's level, and that where there's no forces at all. In other words, everything is Hashem. There is no force. It's not that Hashem is operating a certain force, but Hashem makes the sun shine, Hashem makes the wind blow, Hashem makes the force of gravity. It's nothing like that. There's only Hashem. So that's the higher level, which is the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Which is that Moshe Rabbeinu was the absolutely humble, the most humble of people, and therefore he had absolute access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He could have prophecy on demand. He says he wants to talk to Hashem, and he would just talk to Hashem, and Hashem would answer him. Just like that. No preparations, no meditations, because Hashem was totally with him 100% of the time. That was the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, we mentioned in the last class that what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, when he reached a certain height, in his great closeness to Hashem, he said, he asked Hashem, Hireinis Kvodecha, let me see your glory. I want to see with even more clarity. And Hashem at that point told him, Lo Yireini Adam Lechai, no person, no living flesh and blood person can see me and continue to live. You just can't live if you see me. To see me is to go into a totally different realm. It's to come into my realm and to cease to exist in terms of this world. So Hashem said, no, you can't see me. Right? And there's the famous Gemara there. He says, I'll let you see me from the back. And the Gemara says that he saw the knot of Hashem's tefillin. Hashem also has tefillin. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the knot of his tefillin. He saw Hashem from the back, and from the back you see the knot of the tefillin. In any event, this request was refused to him. However, what we're learning here is, nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu haya hoylehu godol b'zois hamadrega. Moshe Rabbeinu, nevertheless, through his life, was growing all the time. It's not that he peaked. The whole story with the golden calf, which is when he asked Hashem to see his glory, all that happened within the first year of Exodus from Egypt. There was still another 39 years that he was in the desert. We should know that that entire period, Moshe Rabbeinu continued to grow. And that is the way of a Torah lifestyle. That we're not the same, we're never the same. We shouldn't be next week what we are this week. You know, and last week, what we are now is not what we were a week ago. A person should be a totally, always on the path of growth, and it never stops. Till his last dying moment, he's a person who can continue to grow in this life and to have greater perceptions, greater understanding, greater grasp. And that's what he brings up. He was growing greater and greater in this terms of this level of perceiving Hashem as being the only reality. Call Ace continuously. Until he actually reached it. He reached the total level. And he merited this level just before he left this world. Hashem said, you can't see me and live, but just before he died, he was able to reach this level in this world, which is a tremendous accomplishment. You say, well, anyway, he's about to die, so what? What's the big difference? No, he merited in this world. You know, in this world, he actually got to this very, very high level, which is like one step away from moving out of this world completely. With a perfection which is greater in terms of the potential of a person more than any other person ever achieved in this world. He reached a high level than any other person in the entire history of the world has ever reached. Moshe Matzin of Mishnah Torah in Sefer Dvorim, Parashas Vayom Shemo, the paragraph of Vayom Shemo that we say every day in the Shema, the second paragraph of Shema. So there's a wonderful idea that comes out over there. What does it say there? Shetchile Oma. In the beginning it says, La'avas Hashem lokechem. The verse says, and if it will be that if you will listen to Hashem, to love Hashem your God, you will listen to my mitzvahs, you keep my mitzvahs, to love Hashem your God. So it speaks of Hashem in third person. To love Hashem who is your God. So if you'll get to the level, if you devote yourself to the love of Hashem, to mitzvahs, to the love of Hashem, to love Hashem, to fear Hashem, and to come to the love of Hashem your God, but take of leposuk acharav, and exactly the verse straight after that, what does it say there? Omer veloshen medabe ve'adui, where suddenly Hashem is speaking to him directly. V'nasati matah atlechem, and I will give you rain in its land. So we're speaking in third person. It will be that when you will reach this level of loving and fearing Hashem your God, third person, and I will give you rain in its season. Now suddenly Hashem is speaking to you. Speaking directly to us, and I, meaning Hashem, I will give you rain in its time. I will give rain to your land. Hashem is the one who gives the rain. Hashem is the one who gives the panos. He's the one who activates things. He's the one who makes things happen. And that is because this person has, by focusing on loving Hashem, giving his all to Hashem, in a sense he nullifies himself. And therefore, since he nullifies himself, it's like he doesn't exist, and he becomes a part of Hashem. He incorporates Hashem into Hashem. He incorporates himself into Hashem. He's battled in atzmo mitzius klau that Hashchina levad medabers. And it's like the only presence is, if there's nothing besides Hashem, then even I don't exist in a sense. I'm so totally nullified. I nullify myself totally to Hashem, and therefore it's as if it's only Hashem who exists, and therefore it's only the Shechina who can speak. Lechein omer v'nasati. So at this point, I'm not speaking anymore. I was saying Shema, but now I've nullified myself to such an extent that I'm not speaking anymore. Who's speaking? Who's saying the words of Shema? It's Hashem saying the words of Shema. Because I've ceased to exist. It's only Hashem who exists. Hashem is the only reality. If Hashem is the only force in the world, that means even I don't exist. So therefore, it's like I cease to exist. When Nesati and Hashem speaks, and he says, and I will give you rain into its land. This was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. When he spoke to the Jewish people, it was the divine presence speaking through his throat. And so to speak, Moshe ceased to exist in his prophecy. He reached this very, very high level that it's as if he ceased to exist. And the only reality was Hashem. And the voice that came through him, when he spoke to the Jewish people, the voice that came through him was Hashem's voice. Because it's like he ceases to exist. So therefore, the voice that speaks is Hashem's voice. It's not his voice. It's not his voice at all. Shechina medabers mitoch greino shel Moshe. And that's a quote from the Zohar. Like the pasuk says in Shmos, pe el pe adabibo, mouth to mouth I'll speak to him. Now we don't actually say like that, we say face to face. I spoke to my friend face to face. What does it mean I spoke to him mouth to mouth? But that's the idea here. It's his mouth. Moshe's mouth is Hashem's mouth. It's mouth to mouth. Hashem's mouth, so to speak, it's like the hand inside of a puppet. You've got these hand puppets. So the hand puppet's like a glove, but it's got a funny face. And you put your hand in. So therefore, it looks like it's a puppet, but it's really your hand underneath the cloth. So the same thing. It looks like it's Moshe's mouth speaking. It's Hashem's mouth inside Moshe's mouth, so to speak. Hashem is like the puppeteer, and Moshe is like the puppet. Pe el pe, mouth to mouth, from my mouth into your mouth, through your mouth, then I speak. Loiksiv elav, it doesn't say I spoke to him. Because as we said, Moshe ceased to exist in a sense. His reality, his grasp of Hashem was so high, it was like he didn't exist, like the only reality is Hashem. The Lukasiv Elav doesn't say to him, Elabo, I spoke through him, or to through him. B'soicha mamish, that Hashem was mamish in Moshe, and Hashem, so to speak, filled Moshe Rabbeinu. Just by the way, there's an interesting concept that the Nefesh HaChaim also brings. Earlier on we saw it, and that is in terms of sinning, in terms of the Yetzer Hara. We mentioned that when Adam HaRishon sinned, so the Yetzer Hara entered him. And one of the results of that was that before, when the Yetzer Hara was outside of a person, he would say, you should do this, you should do that, you should go here, you should go there. But once the Yetzer Hara entered the person, then the Yetzer Hara speaks to us in first person. He says, I feel like an ice cream, I feel like going to bed, I feel like going for a walk. And the person thinks it's him speaking. But it's not. The Yetzer Hara, that's within a person. And what he explained there, that when a person attaches himself so fully to the physical world, like the physical world is him. If he is a part of the physical world, is him. The Yetzer Hara is him. He's totally connected to the physical world. He's part of the earth. He's part of the smorgasbord, right? He's lying on the table together with all the goodies on the table, right? His head is in the chult, right? His head is in the chult, and his feet are in the ice cream. and his hands are in the fruit salad. But he's mamish part of the word. He's so attached to this world that it's like he lives the world. The world becomes his reality. Here we're speaking about the total opposite of that. Where Moshe Rabbeinu was so close to Hashem, he was so detached from this world, totally detached from the world, and so attached to Hashem that it was as if Hashem filled his whole reality. So those are the two extremes. We have a person who, that the Yetzer Hara fills his reality, and the Yetzer Hara speaks, it's him speaking. Now, I feel like an ice cream, I feel like going for a walk. That's the Yetzer Hara speaking, but it feels like it's him. And we have Moshe Rabbeinu's level, that we are Moshe is speaking, but it's Hashem speaking through him. It's Hashem speaks through Moshe. That's the other extreme. These are two extremes where a person can become so attached to Hashem, and on the other hand, he can become so attached to the physical world. And for this level of perfection, where he was totally, totally attached to Hashem, no person ever merited this level besides him. From the time of the sin of Adam Arishon actually was on this level. He was on this level before he sinned. Adam Arishon was unbelievable, a tremendously high level. So from the time that Adam Arishon sinned, the gam lo yiske elea shum anshe enash adi alivesh te ad vies goel bimher of yomen. And moreover, no person will ever reach this level, the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, until the Mashiach will come. That's interesting. What's going to happen when the Mashiach comes? Could be when the Mashiach comes and we all reach a very, very high level. Maybe then there will be people at the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. But he says, there's no flesh of blood, there's no man of the son of Adam Arishon who ever reached the level, who could reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu until the Mashiach will come. And that's this absolute perfection of this absolute attachment. Moshe Ida Torah Kedoshah, like the Holy Torah says, Lekom Novi Oid B'Yisrael Kamoshe. And never will there be a prophet in Israel like Moshe. Afshin ema b'loshin ava, and even though it's brought in the past tense, never was there a prophet in Israel like Moshe. Even though it's brought in the past, atoy nitzchis. That doesn't matter. The fact that the Torah writes it in the past, it doesn't matter because the Torah itself is eternal. The Torah is not at a certain time in history. The Torah is all times. It's beyond time. The Torah itself is beyond time. So therefore the fact that the Torah mentions it in the past tense doesn't matter because the Torah is beyond time. The Torah is the future. It is the past. It is the present. So therefore never was there, and the Torah says that, it's referring to all time. In all time, there would never be another prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kai Gamal Zman Deis HaBoim. The Torah is referring to future generations as well. She'acha Avo Kol Doim Ha'ulam. That after every generation left the world, after every generation has been through this world, after each level that has gone through this world, every generation that's gone through this world, the Torah projects into the future. So the Torah sees the future like it was the past. So therefore, after each and every generation that's coming will have gone through this world, then we will see that never was there any other individual who was ever like Moshe Rabbeinu. L'chein omru betanet v'eliyahu, that's what it says in the Midrash there. Chayav Adam loima. It says there, a person is obligated to say. A person is obligated. This is one of our obligations. A person is obligated to say, Masai yagir maisa l'maisa avuysa Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. When will my deeds match the deeds of my fathers, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? A person is obligated to say, when will my deeds match the deeds of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, my fathers, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? V'lo yomru, but they did never said, but we're not obligated to say, when will my deeds be like those of Moshe Rabbeinu, because that's not possible. To have a deeds like the deeds of our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, that is something that is possible, and that's what we should strive for. And that's an obligation. We have to say, when will I get there? When will my deeds be at such a high level, at such a pure level, such a devoted level, such a loving level? When will I be able to act in such a way, to think in such a way, to speak in such a way? Right? But the level that we can reach maximum is the level of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, but the level of Moshe is something that's beyond all grasp. Omnam, in kol ze roi l'chol yirei Hashem emiti. Even so. So then what's the point? If we're speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, we're saying Moshe Rabbeinu's level is beyond any human being who could ever reach. So then what's the point of speaking about him? He's beyond us. So then why are we describing Moshe Rabbeinu so much if it's something that we can't reach? What's the point? So he's going to answer that question now. Omnam, in kol ze roi l'chol yirei Hashem emiti. Together with us, it's fitting for any person who truly fears Hashem, who truly wants to be God-fearing, shall call upon him, be'eis omdu lispalo, that at least when we stand up to daven, as we cannot be Moshe Rabbeinu, but at least when we stand up to daven, that he should nullify himself with the purity of his heart, according to his ability and according to his grasp, according to his understanding, all of the forces in the world. And he stands it before Hashem to daven. When one stands it before Hashem to daven, you should nullify that all the force in the world, like there is no force in the world. There is nothing in the world. There is no force in the world. And his forces are also nothing. I also am nothing. I am nothing. My forces are nothing. My ability to stand here is all a miracle. The fact that I can stand and speak before Hashem is all a miracle. Nothing exists. That's what we should be doing. When we stand up to daven, we should be that nothing exists in this world besides Hashem. There is no force. There's nothing. There's nothing in the world except for Hashem. Even I cease to exist when I speak to the Shem. That's something we should strive to do in our davening. We should strive to get to that level in our davening. When we stand up to daven, it's as if to say that that there's nothing. There's nothing in the world except Hashem. That's the ideal. All the forces of the world and all of his forces, all of his personal strengths cease to exist. As if there is no reality in the world at all. Just like the whole world just ceases to exist. The building disappears. The floor under your feet disappears. The tables and chairs around you disappear. All the people around you disappear. Everything disappears. There is no reality. Everything ceases to exist. It's just like you're in the middle of a movie. It's not real. It's just an illusion. It's all really Hashem. It's just this grand movie that you're part of this movie, and the only reality is Hashem. So that's really that's what we should try to reach in our davening. At least during davening. How long is davening? You daven Shmoneh Esrei, 5 minutes, 6 minutes. So in those 5-6 minutes, just try imagine that there is no reality. There's nothing in the world at all besides Hashem. And it's davening b'libo rak bo yisbarach, that we should cleave with, that a person should cleave with his heart only to Hashem. Adon Yochid Bochu, the Lord, the single Lord, blessed is his name. I'll call upon him lefrokim, and at least sometimes, give emes loy kol ha'itim shavas, because in truth not all times are equal. You know, we have good days, we have bad days, we have days when we're full of energy, full of strength, we're feeling very active, very positive. Sometimes we have days we're feeling very positive, other days we're not feeling so positive, we feel a little bit more negative, we're a little bit tired, we're a little bit sad. So therefore, even though all times are not equal, so similarly, not all times are equal in terms of the purity of our heart, the purity of a vision. You know, sometimes you have a day when just everything is beautiful, everything is so clear, you just see everything. Everything is clear. There's a purity of the heart. And especially in our times when we are on a much lower level, where it's almost impossible for us to continuously daven at this level, this very high level. Sometimes happens when you're davening, like you have like a moment when you reach a very high level, and the next moment you've already lost it. Your mamash there, you're there, and then the next second it's gone. What happened there? I was at this level, but I just lost it. My focus just lost focus. I was there, I had it, and then I lost it. But anyway, we've just got to grab whatever we can grab. If we can grab it for 1 second, that's also good. 1 second of grasping Hashem is better than nothing. So if you can grab it just for a second, that also we should strive to do, even though we can't do it right through the whole davening. We can't do it every day. Obviously we can't do it for every prayer. But even in the same Shmoneh Esrei, we can't do it for the entire Shmoneh Esrei. But at least that moment that you grab, you should try and grab. Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, Rabbi Loza says, Yachloni lifto es kol ha'irudim tatfila. The Gemara in Eruvin, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah said that really I can exempt the whole world from davening. There's a pasuk in Nach, that she says shikura velo min yain. It speaks about the Jewish people. He says they're drunk and not from wine. They're drunk but not from drinking wine. So how can a person be drunk not from drinking wine? He's drunk from all the tsoris, from all the tumult. A person's like a boxer, you know, a boxer who's being punched. So they call him punch drunk, right? He looks like a drunk. He sort of can't hold himself straight. He's sort of swaying from side to side, stumbling around the boxing ring because he's been hit so much that he doesn't see straight anymore. So it says that about the Jewish people, that they're drunk, but not from wine. Now, through all the tumult of our lives, through all the tsoros, through all the headaches, through the different tests and torments that we have in our life, the sufferings that we've had through our history, right, with all the anti-Semitism and the pogroms and the hatred and the holocausts, all sorts of tsoros that we've had. So it says about the Jewish people, also even nowadays, you know, people are worried about panosa, they're worried about their kids, learning Torah like they should. They're worried about their shalom bayis. They're worried about getting on with their neighbors. But people have tzoras. People are for tumbles, right? They've got a thousand things rushing through their head every moment. So therefore, we, in a sense, it's like the pasuk says, we're like we're drunk. We actually don't see clearly. A person who's drunk doesn't see clearly. Right? That's why a drunk person should never drive a car, because he's going to he thinks he sees properly, but he doesn't see properly. He just drives off the road. He just drives into a lamppost. He can't see properly. He thinks he's seeing properly. He thinks he's controlling the car. He thinks, no, he says, I'm fine, I can drive this car. It's not a problem. He thinks he's fine, but he's not fine. He thinks he can see straight, but he can't see straight. And he only finds out that he was wrong when he drives into a wall. He drives into someone else's car. Then he finds out that he was really wrong. So in a sense, we also like drunk. And therefore, that's what Rav Elazar said, that he could really exempt us from davening. Nevertheless, afal pika, and even so, however, if a person is striving to serve Hashem with purity, harei mistakel tamid b'taris levova al kol inyonov, and he looks constantly with the purity of his heart on all matters. You know, he examines his life with the eyes of purity. So to speak, you put on the right set of eyes. We want to look at this world. We want to look at our world, our lives, from Hashem's point of view, from Avodas Hashem point of view, from the service of Hashem, from that point of view. Right? Not from, you know, there are different ways of looking at our lives. Some people look at our lives in terms of, you know, are my clothes as nice as with my friend's clothes, or am I dressed as nice as everyone else here, or did I get the same helping as everyone else? Did I get the same honor as everyone else? You know, we have different perspectives of looking through life, but at least if we're trying to serve Hashem, we should try at least sometimes to look at this world in terms of through Hashem's eyes. Through Hashem's eyes. In other words, to look at this world in terms of that this world is an opportunity to serve Hashem. That's what this world is about. This whole world is just about opportunities to serve Hashem. Every moment of my day, I'm sitting down to eat breakfast. I can just eat breakfast, or I can eat breakfast for the sake of serving Hashem. My act of eating breakfast can be a mitzvah. I'm going to sit down and eat. I'm going to stop a minute and think before I start eating. Just stop a minute and think, I'm now going to do this act of eating as part of looking after my health so that I should have strength to serve Hashem. And that's how I'm going to look at the breakfast. I'm doing a mitzvah. With each teaspoon of breakfast, I'm doing a mitzvah. That's a certain perspective which we can plug into. We can choose to plug into, or we can just daydream. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you eat a food and the next thing you don't notice, the whole food is eaten up and you didn't even notice eating it. You were distracted. You started looking out the window or something else, and the next thing, the whole plate is empty. You don't even remember eating the plate of food. You say, did I eat this plate of food? I don't even know if you ate it. You assume you ate it because it was a full plate, now it's empty. And you're only the only person sitting at the table, so you assume you're the one who ate it, but you can't remember that you ate it because we become distracted. But there's another type of focus where a person not just focuses on what he's eating, but why he's eating it. He looks at this world as all about the opportunity of serving Hashem. That's really what it's about. And that's what he's saying, that even though we are, in a sense, we are a generation of drunks, in a sense, because we don't have this clarity, but we should strive, at least be striving, to be looking at the world through these eyes. To look at this world through the purity of our hearts. I'll call you none of all of our matters. That all of his actions should be pleasing to Hashem. That's one of the main intentions. I'm looking to please you, Hashem. The way I walk, the way I talk, the way I act, I'm looking to please you. And the way I think, looking to please you. So that's the type of focus, to do the rotzon of Hashem, that we're focusing on ourselves, that we're acting in a pleasant way, we're acting as Hashem wants us to act. As yuchal lagiel espalel okol ponim lefrakim bezoi samadreg. And therefore, if we have this attitude, so sometimes in our davening we can reach this level of that there's nothing else besides Hashem. Just maybe for a moment. At least that moment is precious. Even if it's for a moment you can recap it, it's worthwhile. The atom of work of an awesome zal, the Maimrom. Now we can understand when our sages teach. Moin brochus, shamis palel tzoy, shi havenis libo lemokum. That one who stands up to daven should intend his heart to the place. We mentioned before that Hashem is called the place. Hashem is the reality of the world. He is the place of the world. So we should focus our hearts on the place. The fact is that the reality. Reality is Hashem. That Hashem is our reality. That's the intention here. One who stands up to daven should focus his thoughts on the place, on the fact that Hashem is the total reality. and also the teaching in Pirkei Avos, Kesha'atam Isfalel, when you stand up to daven, Al Tas Tfilas Chakukva. Don't make your prayer just like a habit, just like a rote, just like a repetition, like a mindless repetition. Rather, when you stand up to daven, it should be a request of compassion, of mercy, and supplicating, pleading to Hashem, Hashem, help me, help me, help me, help me to serve you, help me to get closer to you, help me to do the right thing, help me to grow, help me to be a bigger person. So it should be praying, it should be pleading and supplicating before Hashem. Which is that a person has to be very careful with his thoughts, with his whole attitude, his whole approach. We have to be careful what how we act. So our whole focus has to be on Hashem, and our thoughts should at no time be on any type of destination, desired destination. I'm dreaming about where I want to get to. I'm dreaming about the, you know, my future mansion, my future limousine, right? My future, even my future in the world to come. I'm dreaming about the paradise that I'm going to have in the world to come. We shouldn't be focusing at all on any type of destination, any type of desire. The Shum sphere, we shouldn't be focused on any of the spheres, any of the masks of Hashem. Hashem, so to speak, wears different masks. We shouldn't even be looking at the masks of Hashem, the spheres of Hashem. Afilu Netzolim, even emanated beings that come straightly from Hashem, straight, highest of angels, these very, very high angels, we shouldn't even see any angel. There should be no image of any angel even. It should be only, we're looking only for Hashem. V'loi zu bilvad, shelo lechavin l'shum sphere of v'koich elyon levad. And not only this, that one shouldn't have any intention for any upper sphere, any upper aspect of Hashem, or any upper force, any heavenly force. Because if we're focusing on the forces of Hashem, we're focusing on the angels of Hashem, we're focusing on Hashem's different abilities, so then we're not focusing on Hashem Himself. Then we're not diving to Hashem Himself. The kitzitz netios chas v'shalom. And that's called cutting off the branches, chas v'shalom. When you cut a branch off a tree, so you cut it off from its life source. Right? So therefore, when you look at any force in the world as being something that is a power, you look at a force, right? You say, right, piles of money, that's a force. Someone's got a lot of money, that's a force. You know, he's got resources, he's got ability. So if you look at that money without seeing where the money comes from, like looking at the branch of the tree without seeing that the tree, the branch comes from the trunk. So if you look at a pile of money as if it's a pile of money, it just exists independently, without seeing that it's mamish from Hashem, it's all from Hashem, it's only Hashem. It's only Hashem, so then that's called kitzitz netios. So to speak, you're breaking the branches off the tree. You're dismembering them. You're disconnecting them from their source. So if you look at any force, and you're not focused on that, the force is really Hashem. That Hashem is behind that force. That Hashem is powering that force. So that's called kitzitz netios. That's called breaking off the branches. That we lose sight of Hashem. We lose sight who is of Hashem, who is the force of all. He is the source of all. Rather, not only should we not be focusing on any other force, any type of sphera, it's also correct that a person with his desire, when he stands up to daven, should be nullifying any forces, upper forces and lower forces, any forces at all. There are no forces at all. Everything should cease to exist. And if it's a very hot day, it's a very cold day, it ceases to exist. You're not interested. You forget about it. It's cold, it's hot. You're not even thinking. You're not even focusing. You don't even feel that it's cold. You don't even feel that it's hot. You nullify all other forces in the world. There are no other forces. The Gam Kol Kachis, also one person's personal strength, Kila Enam B'mitzis, like they cease to exist. It's like almost like we think about our body has ceased to exist. We are not here. As if we ourselves are not here. V'loi zu bilvad b'inyan atzfila. Now he adds here in brackets that not only when it comes to davening should we have this intention, also when it comes to learning Torah, that if we want to learn Torah properly, if we're interested in learning Torah properly, we should really be at this level where the only thing is the Torah. The only thing is what's the Torah teaching. It's like I cease to exist. The only thing that's important here is the Torah. Kenyan Maim Ramzah, like our sages teach. And Divei Torah Meskaimim Elab Misha Meisim Atzmo Kimisha Einoi. The Gemara says in Seta that a person only remembers Torah. You know, if we learn Torah, then we forget it. The person wants to remember Torah. The way you remember Torah, so you want your Torah to last. The Torah that you learn, you want it to last in your head. You don't want it to fly out of your head. So the words of Torah only will last with someone who makes himself as if he's not. If he nullifies himself to the Torah, the only thing is the Torah. The words of the Torah are the most important thing. And he looks at himself as if he's nothing, so then If the ego, if you can pull his ego out of it, then the Torah takes more importance, and that's the Torah that lasts. That's the Torah that's remembered. That's the Torah that we don't forget. And also we have to cling with purity of the heart with our prayer, not only with Torah, but in our prayer only to Hashem, who is the place of the world. He is the only one. Who is the endless one. He is the one who fills all of the world and all of the worlds. All of the worlds are all filled with the presence of Hashem. There's no place free of Him. There's no place in the world that is not filled with Hashem. And he quotes here the Rukeach. And here we're coming to the end of the whole Shar. At the end of his, when he speaks about mentioning Hashem's name, that he says, Hashem. He says, when you say the words Hashem, when you make a brocha, you're saying Hashem, don't think of the glory that the prophets were able to see in their prophecy. We have prophecies where the prophets saw angels, they saw thrones, a heavenly throne, they saw a heavenly chariot. One shouldn't have any of those thoughts. You shouldn't be looking at any of the visions. Even though these are visions that we have from our prophets, we shouldn't be holding those visions in our head at that time. Or any type of image that was on the holy throne. You should be thinking only of Hashem. There's only Hashem. Hashem fills all of reality, and that's the only thing. We're not looking at divine thrones, and we're not looking at divine chariots. We're not thinking about angels. We're not thinking about sunsets. We're not thinking about clouds. We're not thinking about the sun shining. Nothing at all. There's nothing at all in our mind. It's just only the presence of Hashem. Only Hashem, who is in the heavens and in the earth, He's in the air, He's in the oceans, He fills of all reality. He's the Lord of our fathers, and there's nothing else beside Him. Adkan the Shoina, that is from the Rukeach, and that's the end of Shai Gimel. Let's at least start for a few minutes what he calls Prokim. These extra chapters that he's added, there's some interesting ideas here. Prokim, Perik Aleph, the first chapter. Atha Koir Naim, and you now, pleasant reader, he's speaking to us, you, my pleasant reader. Hine Hidrachticha Be'ezrat Hashem Benesivus Ha'emes. Look, I have guided you along paths of truth. Right, you speak that He is the guide. Not like a person has a travel guide, He shows you around. So He has guided us, Nefesh HaChaim has guided us on paths of truth, on the paths of truth, that we should try and see the truth of this world. The Horis Lefanecha Derech Telech Bo Lebetach, to show you the way where you can walk confidently. The way to approach the whole of life, the way to approach your daily life, the way to approach your Torah mitzvahs, the way to approach all of your service of Hashem. He wants to show us the path of Hashem that we can walk confidently. And it's with this type of, with the type of thoughts that He's given us to think, with the type of ideas that He's taught us, these thoughts put us on the correct path. These are the correct attitudes that put us on the correct path. Betucha lechanech atzmecha lat lat. With what the information I have given you up to now, you're able to train yourself, to educate yourself little by little, because it's a process. It's not overnight. It's not just you absorb this information and tomorrow you're a different person. You have to absorb this information. You have to slowly, slowly incorporate it. You have to incorporate it into your personality. You have to sort of put it in your heart. Put it in your heart slowly, slowly. It says in the Shema, it speaks about the words of Torah. It says, "Vayu advarim ha'eli al levavecha," and these words, the words of the Torah should be on your heart. So why does it say on your heart? Why doesn't it say in your heart? And these words of Torah should be in your heart. Why doesn't they should be on your heart? So one of the ideas that they say is that it's hard to put the words of Torah in your heart. But if you put it on your heart, then slowly, slowly it seeps through. It seeps through. Like if you put a lump of butter on a piece of toast, so slowly, slowly the oil of the butter will drip into the bread. It'll seep through. So you should put the words of Torah on your heart. You have to internalize it slowly. It's a gradual process. It's not something that's overnight. You can't just read an idea and then tomorrow you start doing it. It's a training, especially if it's thinking differently. You have to start thinking differently in the way we've been thinking all of our lives. All of our lives we've been thinking one way. We have to actually change our thinking. That's a whole process. It's not just with a flick of a button. So therefore, the ideas that I've given you, as that I have been your guide to show you the truth path, with these ideas you will be able to educate yourself little by little. The Seder Madregas, that you can also climb this ladder, the ladder of growth, the ladder of becoming a greater person, a higher person, a loftier person. Lefi toya levavcha, according to the purity of your heart. Lefi hasagoscha, and according to your grasp. The better you grasp it, the better you understand it, the better you can absorb it. If you grasp it well, so then you can climb faster. If you don't grasp it so well, so then you have to read it again. You have to learn it again. You have to slowly. You have to make sure that you've got it. You've got to hold the ball before you start running with the ball. Because you've got to hold the ball. If you're not holding it properly, it's going to fall out of your hands. So we've got to hold these ideas. We've got to grasp these ideas. And then we can slowly start using them to grow. Right? More than what I've written here. And as follows, if you start grasping these ideas that he's given us, so then you internalize these ideas, then you'll actually understand more than what he wrote. Because he's given us like seeds. So if you put a seed in the ground, so the seed starts sprouting, starts growing. From the seed, you can have a whole tree can come out of it, a bush can come out of it, a flower can come out of it. The same thing, these ideas that we've learned here are ideas that are like seeds, that if we'll grasp them, we'll think about them, we'll turn them over and over, we'll actually understand more than he's written. This book is just like, it's just full like a bag of seeds, but it's for us to work on these ideas, and we can actually make them flower, we can actually expand the ideas, as well as internalizing them. And also through habit. The more you habituate yourself in certain habits, a person habituates himself to daven in a certain way, to talk in a certain way, to think in a certain way. If you get it into the habit, you get in the habit, just like a person gets in the habit of getting up early in the morning. So once that's his habit, it's easy. A person who has the habit that he controls himself, he controls his appetite. If he has that habit, then it becomes easy. So therefore, these thoughts, these ideas, we have to make it a habit. And that's how path grows. And with your own eyes, you will see that the more you accustom yourself to these levels, the more you get used to being at these higher levels, you will add purity to your existing purity. You can become purer and purer. You can reach purer and purer levels. You reach a pure level, and then you can still get to a higher level. You can get more and more pure. You can reach higher levels of purity. Both in terms of the way you study Torah, and the Kiyum HaMitzvos, and also in terms of how you fulfill mitzvos, and his fear of Hashem and his love of Hashem. Okay, we don't have time to go on at this stage, but what he's going to warn us now, that the next thing we have to worry about is not to feel arrogant. That now that we're on this path of truth, and we're grasping these ideas with a wonderful grasp, it's something we've never had before in our life. We're on a path of tremendous growth. What we have to watch for is that there's another danger. There's a certain danger that lies ahead of us, and that's arrogance. And we'll speak about that, please God, next time.